time now for us to cross over to Washington, where Simon Marks is waiting to talk to us. Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you crossing to Washington just for the halibut?
Oh, very well done. First of all, very well done for being so quick, because you must have only just tuned in to the last minute or so of the programme.
Straight off. It's Monday morning. I'm raring to go.
Well done, Simon. I don't know. You leave me speechless. You should see some of these. They're hilarious. People really going all out to win this competition prize. You can't win, I'm afraid. You're too closely associated with us. I tell you, we're crossing to Washington because there's so much going on, and we feel like we went away for the weekend and all sorts happened. And I know you want to start by talking about the new chief of staff, and we will get to John Kelly in a minute. But we feel, Sally and I, like we've missed out on the whole Scaramucci or the Mooch versus Ryan's Priebus. Can we start there?
Yes, well, just to put all of this into a panoramic context, there is absolutely no question that last week was the worst week any U.S. president has suffered in the modern era, with the possible exception of Bill Clinton when he had to deny having relationships with Monica Lewinsky, and with the certain exception of Richard Nixon the week that he had to resign. Last week was devastating for Donald Trump. Losing in the U.S. Senate, yet another attempt to try and repeal and reform Obamacare, appointing the thuggish Anthony Scaramucci, this former New York financier who comes across every bit a Tony Soprano figure inside the White House as his new director of communications, then being deeply embarrassed by the very same Anthony Scaramucci who offered a foul-mouthed tirade in an interview with the New Yorker magazine, of all things, the very erudite and high-end New Yorker magazine, on the receiving end of this profanity from Anthony Scaramucci, directed at both Stephen Bannon, President Trump's grey ideological cardinal, the former Breitbart News executive who serves as one of the president's top strategists, and also, of course, Reince Priebus, now the former White House chief of staff. Anthony Scaramucci understood, really wanted to push Donald Trump's buttons. You would accuse someone of being disloyal to Donald Trump. And so he accused Reince Priebus, the White House chief of staff, of being disloyal to President Trump. And as a result, within hours, Reince Priebus was out of that White House. Just an absolutely dizzying array. I mean, that's before we even also mention the speech to the Boy Scouts of America that the Boy Scouts had to dissociate themselves from, the speech to police in Long Island, New York, in which Donald Trump appeared to give them absolute backing to start roughing suspects up and ignore civil liberties and the presumption of innocence, something that police forces across the country have been dissociating themselves from over the last few days. It was a week of non-stop rollicking chaos.
Rollicking, great word.
And the White House, is now trying to adapt.
And is John Kelly going to be able to bring any order to this chaos at all?
Well, President Trump certainly seems to think he is. He's just sworn John Kelly in as White House Chief of Staff. He's just insisted that he's the man for the job. He says that he's excelled in his post as Director of Homeland Security, where it should be said that General Kelly has been something of a zealous enactor of some of President Trump's more extreme policies, including the travel ban. He's the man who gave the border forces their marching orders when the travel ban came down. But Donald Trump clearly likes surrounding himself with generals. General Kelly is now the White House chief of staff. Mad Dog General James Mattis, who of course isn't quite such a mad dog, it turns out, he's running the Department of Defense. General H.R. McMaster is running the National Security Council. That's a troika of three pretty powerful military figures surrounding Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, the kind of traditional order that army professionals like to oversee is going to rub up against the chaos that Donald Trump revels in. I mean, one dawn tweet storm can undo an enormous amount of work that General Kelly might have done to try and bring order about, and how General Kelly deals with these various warring factions inside the White House, Stephen Bannon, Jared Kushner, Kellyanne Conway, Ivanka Trump. I mean, you know, good luck.
It's just, I don't even know where to start after that, Simon. It was just an epic week of disaster, as you say. But now, of course, particularly after losing the healthcare vote once again, there are, of course, growing tensions between Donald Trump and the party that he is supposed to be leading. I mean, you know, he fired back at the Republicans again on Twitter after that. What can he actually do to improve the situation, if anything?
Well, I'm not sure, because Reince Priebus, the White House chief of staff, who of course is now gone, was to all intents and purposes the bridge between Donald Trump and the Republican Party. Remember that Donald Trump is not a career Republican. He's not a long-term figure within the Republican Party's establishment. And so to lose Reince Priebus, the former head of the Republican National Committee, he literally led the party during last year's presidential election campaign, to lose him and to have no one else inside the West Wing who really understands the workings of Congress. I mean, I suppose you could argue that Vice President Mike Pence can fill that role to some extent, but, you know, he's the Vice President of the United States. He's not really the Director of Legislative Affairs. I think it's going to prove to be a massive problem. And in some ways, today it is a new dawn, not just because there's a new White House Chief of Staff, but because you've got a President of the United States who is increasingly attacking both Democrats and Republicans up on Capitol Hill. You've got Republicans in the form of men like Senator John McCain, women like Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who are deeply skeptical about Donald Trump and everything he stands for. And in many ways, it may be that we have to start thinking of Donald Trump as being something of a politically independent president, not tied at the waistband to the Republican Party, because at the moment those tensions are so frayed between Trump and Republicans in the Senate that it's very hard to see how they get ironed over and Trump starts securing the legislative victories that he wants to see.
Meanwhile, of course, Russia remained part of the narrative and relationships frayed there too, Simon. We're seeing a big downsizing in diplomatic missions in Russia.
Yes, and we're still waiting for President Trump's first reaction to that decision by Vladimir Putin to tell the Americans that 755 diplomats and staff inside Russia have to go and have to be gone by September the 1st. That is a slap back at America after the House of Representatives and the Senate last week passed those new sanctions on Russia, sanctions that President Trump says he is going to sign into law. But the White House and the State Department have been utterly silent over the last 18 hours since news of that number broke in Moscow. We're waiting to see whether President Trump has anything to say about it during the cabinet meeting that's currently underway inside the White House. I can see that while I've been on the air, he said there are lots of problems overseas and we will solve them all. But whether he's become any more granular about those particular problems and talked about Russia, I'm not yet sure. But, I mean, there's no doubt that his hope, Donald Trump's hope, of a productive relationship with Vladimir Putin has been utterly dashed. And it's been utterly dashed in large measure by those same Republicans up in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives who are just increasingly nervous about where all of these investigations into ties between Donald Trump, his campaign team, and the Russians may be headed.
We've only got a little bit of time for this last one, Simon, but of course, between North Korea and China, Donald Trump has been firing off at China on Twitter, saying they could solve the North Korea crisis very easily, quote unquote. What's happening there?
Well, you know, there was speculation that this might be the week when Donald Trump would try and change the headlines here in the United States and focus on North Korea. He has previously threatened to go it alone against North Korea, whatever that means, given the frustration that he has with the Chinese for not having done more to rein in Kim Jong-un's nuclear aspirations, and also for having grown their trade ties with North Korea in the first quarter of the year, not cut them back. But whether Donald Trump has a plan for taking on North Korea in a manner that would not create even more tension and uncertainty on the Korean Peninsula, we simply don't know. But certainly there was sort of talk in the system late last week and over the weekend, chatter in the air here, that he was seriously thinking about confronting the issue.
Simon, that's all we've got time for tonight. But thank you so much for, well, as usual, a very entertaining update on a very lively few days in the US. Thanks for joining us.
Well, just wait until next week.
Oh, we can't wait that long, Simon.
You just never know what's going to be coming up. I mean, it keeps you busy, though, right?
Exactly. Always hopping.
Speak to you soon, Simon. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.